The Old Testament reading for this evening is from Exodus chapter 20, 24, verses 3 through 11. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the just decrees. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab, Abihah, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet as if were a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God, ate, and drank. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson for this evening is from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 22. When Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made by hands, this is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and the bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated with blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, 'Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him, one after another, 'Is it I, Lord?' He answered, 'He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it was written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" And he said to him, "You have said so." Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The key word in the text for Maundy Thursday is covenant. But that is a word that we don't really use much anymore. Some Presbyterian churches and schools are covenant. There's a healthcare system out there named Covenant Health. But in daily use, covenant has been replaced by either a simple contract or the word testament. We used to say things like a marriage covenant, where today we have marriage contracts. The workings of a living language are always tough to discuss. Why do certain words fall out of usage and others come in? Why do definitions change over the years? But in this case, I think we can posit something of a reason. A covenant has religious overtones. It might be an agreement between two or more humans, but it's usually invoked God as its guarantor. Marriage was a covenant, because while two people pledged themselves to each other, it was God who put them together and pledged that they should stay that way. But we like to break agreements. And at least for a season, we didn't like taking the Lord's name in vain, so covenants became mere contracts. In regard to testaments, that's a special case of a covenant. A person dies and leaves their final wishes for the disposition of property and maybe some final acts. The implied counterparty are the heirs. But the person themselves is dead. They are really relying on an implicit curse. If you do not carry out these my last wishes, may God avenge me. Likewise, we've replaced God with our justice system. And likewise, if the estate is worth enough, we can get any last testament thrown out. So, while we've been abandoning covenant in regular use, it still is a robust religious use. Because God has made contracts, covenants, with humans. And since God is both the guarantor and the counterparty, appealing to the state or anything else is just foolish. And while Caesar may accept salt or a signature as a seal of a contract, a covenant demands blood. The life is in the blood, and the covenant is a living thing. The Old Testament reading has the sealing of the covenant of Sinai and a foreshadowing of a better covenant. Moses has taken down all of the words of the Lord and all of the just decrees and read them to the assembled Israel at the bottom of Sinai. What is this book of the covenant? Most commentators would say it's Exodus chapters 20 through 23. That starts with the Ten Commandments. But it also includes several others, laws covering everything from economics to festival days. It starts with a recounting of what God has already done, bringing Israel out of the land of slavery. And it ends with the promise of what God is going to do: drive out the Canaanites and give them the promised land. But this covenant is a quid pro quo. God shall do this if Israel pays careful attention to him and obeys his voice. That is what Moses asks them in reading it. Do you agree? And all Israel answers, all the words of the Lord that he has spoken we will do. And to seal the covenant, Moses offers sacrifices and sprinkles the blood on the people and pretty much everything else. May this blood testify against the one who breaks it. If I break it, may my blood likewise be spilled, is what they're saying. And within a month, Israel is worshiping a golden calf. The covenant of Sinai, of the law, has always been trouble. God would remain true to his portion. Israel would get the promised land. But they only received it by God's grace, because they broke the covenant. The following short event, which goes unremarked upon in Exodus, seems more important. The 70 elders went up the mountain and they saw the God of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. You can pass it by as simply a meal between counterparties in an agreement, the requirement of hospitality. But it's quite remarkable. Nobody sees God, yet here they do. And God has feet. Spirits don't have feet. As part of that covenant, the law, the Jew would have to offer sacrifices. And once a year, the high priest would enter into the presence of God in the Holy of Holies, seeking the forgiveness of all of Israel by the blood of beasts. That's what the writer to the Epistle of the Hebrews recounts. That first covenant of the law was a covenant broken on this side, on Israel's side. And it required blood to satisfy it. For all of Israel's existence, that blood was the blood of goats and bulls for the purification of the flesh. But now, Christ offered himself without blemish. And his blood closed that covenant. It purified our consciences from dead works so that we could serve the living God. Christ closed the covenant of the law by his death. We are no longer bound to that Mosaic law if we are in Christ. A death that has occurred redeems us from the transgressions committed under that first covenant, is what he says. But we're only out of that first covenant if we are covered by the blood of Christ the mediator of the new covenant. And what is that new covenant? The covenant that we celebrate tonight. It's not a covenant of works. It's not the quid pro quo of Sinai. But it's that meal after Sinai. God has invited us tonight to eat and drink with Him. But He's given us Himself as the meal. It's a covenant that asks nothing other than our faith. We don't need to know anything but Christ. Adam and Eve took the apple because they wanted to know good and evil. And so they did. Although they were not like God. Israel, in that covenant of Sinai, needed to know a lot of things. The appropriate sacrifices, the calendar of when to offer them, the meaning of the Ten Commandments, when to use the name of the Lord and when not to, what they could eat and what they could not eat. The burden of knowing was immense. And we are simply not made for knowing such great things. But the new covenant, we only need to know one thing. Christ has given Himself for us. And that's the purpose of this meal tonight. Christ gives you His body here tonight. Tonight we see the body of Christ. And He's given us His blood, which is for the forgiveness of sins. This is not the blood that is splashed upon you, calling out that if you break this covenant, it be on you. This is the blood that works inwardly in us to purify our consciences from dead works to serve the living God. The life is in the blood. And in that blood is our eternal life. That's the promise Jesus leaves the 11 with. He will not eat or drink again until we have another meal. When I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. In that first covenant, Israel was promised the land. In this covenant, we are promised the kingdom. You will eat and drink with Christ. And God keeps His promises. And you don't have to do anything. Just believe. That is the covenant. That's the last will and testament of Jesus. Jesus wants to give you the kingdom. The promise of this meal. And He's called His Father as the guarantor of it. The Father Almighty ensures it. He gives to us the kingdom of His Son. So come, receive the supper tonight, which gives you the kingdom. Amen.